I always like to ask people this. I just find it interesting. I always like to ask people, do you have a good mechanic for your car? And I ask because I know I've got a great mechanic in Casey. I think I've used him in sermons before. When I lived in Doncaster, I came out here to use this mechanic. And so it was a pleasure to come to Berwick 3 years ago and then be close to my mechanic because he's so awesome. And I say to people, if you go to this guy, tell him Wayne sent you, and I almost promise a discount. It's great to have a mechanic that you trust, because really, unless you know a lot about cars, you are entrusting an asset of $20,000, $30,000 to a stranger. What an exercise in trust. And you're saying, here you go, you know, and tell me everything wrong with it. You know, tell me what needs work. It's an exercise not only in trust, but an exercise in humility. You're saying, I don't trust myself. Even though you are the person in your car, you ought to know your car better than anyone. You drive it, you sit in it, you wash it, you know, you store it, and yet you give it all over to a stranger and just say, tell me what's wrong. It's a real exercise in humility. You'll value your mechanic even more if you've ever been ripped off, which probably most of us have been ripped off by a dodgy one. You know, where you pay, they say, oh, it needs this thing, it's a lot of money, and then a month later, the same thing breaks, and you know, and they've got a different excuse, and you just know you're being ripped off. You're being hurt by the dodgy wisdom. You've trusted the wrong thing. In life, when we trust bad wisdom, we obviously get hurt in our life. Our life is a bigger asset than a car. You know, we need a way of knowing who is wise, who is trustworthy when we are taking advice. That makes me think, though, of the fact that the person you most often take advice from is who? Yourself, right? The person you're most sort of thinking about and chewing things over with is yourself. You're constantly giving yourself advice because you're constantly making decisions. It's not like you consult on every decision, so you're constantly trusting your own wisdom. So is your wisdom to yourself good? Have you thought about this? You know, we need wisdom, but wisdom's hard to find. Now, in the Bible, wisdom's a big theme. So today and the next two Sundays, sort of a school holidays kind of series, we're going to be looking at some themes of wisdom from Proverbs. I like to come back to Proverbs as a church regularly because we want to be a wise church. God loves you. God loves you so much. He's provided grace in your life. You know, no matter what you've done, you're forgiven in Jesus. So that's set. That's God's love. But God's love also means he doesn't want you to drift aimlessly through life. He doesn't just want to secure an eternity and then just let you drift and sort of be foolish in your life. God loves you. He doesn't want you to be buffeted, that is, bounced around by bad advice. God loves you and wants you to be wise. You know, he doesn't want you to be knocked around by the bad advice you give yourself. Does that make sense? So I really commend to you, regularly as a Christian, not just read the Bible, not just read the Gospels or the New Testament, because that's easier and it's Jesus, but to read the Old Testament and to read Proverbs. It's a great book, a practical book. To me, it's like dynamite, the book of Proverbs. There are things in there, practical advice, that any verse has the potential just to explode in your life and fix a direction or a course of action that you'd missed. You know, so it's sort of book that I think, I don't want to miss any of it. I don't want to gloss over it. I want to stew on this book called Proverbs. Being wise will impact every nook and cranny of your world. It's not like being wise is just for sort of the main parts of life. Being wise is for everything. That's because, Proverbs says the foundation of wisdom is what? Do you know what Proverbs says the foundation or the beginning of wisdom is? The fear of the Lord, the reverencing of God, having God at the center. And every part of your life is an opportunity to revere God or not. Every moment, when you're alone, for example, when you're alone, no one knows you're a fool except God. So when you're, what you do, how you are, who you are when you're alone is a big indicator of whether you fear God, whether you're wise. But, you know, even when you're at work, you're making choices that honour God or not. When you rest, the middle of the day, work, home, study, play, church, it all needs wisdom from God. You know, what do you do with your money, your relationships? How do you manage your time? How do you manage your family, your quarrels? How do you deal with anxiety? How do you deal with worry and stress? All these things require wisdom. Wisdom is basically about good choices. And we're probably not even cognizant of the thousands of choices we make every day. Everywhere you go, you're making little choices about, you know, who will I talk to after church? You know, what will I do? What will we do after church? You know, you're constantly, what will we talk about? You're constantly making choices. So godly wisdom is about how can I honour my God in all those little choices as well as the big ones. The big ones are kind of easy in a way because you can think hard and wrestle with them and search the Bible, but it's the little choices that in each of them they may seem without consequence. They may not be black and white, they may just be sort of grey. But in every choice, you've got to think, will this lead me closer to trusting Jesus, loving him, serving him, being like him, or will it lead me away? Because the cumulative effect of all your little choices will bring you closer to Jesus or lead you away from him. That's where you need wisdom. So I wonder what score would you give yourself out of 10 for wisdom? Just, I've got a low view of most people in the world out there. I don't want to be smug, but just say, Casey, 3 out of 10 in wisdom. And just say the average Christian is a faithful Christian reading the Bible. There are 6 out of 10. What are you out of 10? Are you 7? Are you 6? Are you 5? Are you 3? You know, what is your level of wisdom? Of course, if I really did ask you that, and you were really kind of knew this game, what you would do is you'd say, oh, I'm not very wise, you know. Oh, no, I need more wisdom. You know, that's the kind of pious answer. But really, at some level, you do have an assessment that's not that answer. You know, you've got to think about that. Well, God's word today, there's really one verse I want us to hone in on and the bits around it. It's chapter 3, verse 7 of Proverbs. God says to us today, do not be wise in your own eyes. That is God's word. Do not be wise in your own eyes. What does that mean? It's really interesting that we entrust our car to someone, but our life, which is a more precious asset, is like we just think it's ours and we're wise. We know what to do. We trust our intuition. We trust our confidence. We trust our own wisdom. You know, we think everything I do is justified. Unlike other people, are not logical, but everything I do is logical. And to God, to us, God says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Have you ever done for your life what you do for your mechanic and said to a trusted, godly, wise person, friend, show me my life where I need to grow? Do you see anything that I need to work on? And we don't do that because the basic human orientation is to trust yourself. And yet God says, don't do that. Don't be wise in your own eyes. The natural human stance is to assume that our intuition is good and that our opinions are correct. The full verse says this, the whole verse. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Push evil away by fearing, embracing, loving, trusting God. You see, the verse doesn't say what I just said earlier. The verse doesn't say score yourself and then try and improve a level. The verse says reject the whole thing. Don't be wise in your own eyes. You know, the verse presupposes that people will naturally trust themselves, and it says fight that desire. Fight the desire to have a natural self-confidence. Instead, fear God, you know, revere his word, and let God be your center and your guide. So we must fight this sense of self-confidence. It's kind of counterintuitive, but it makes sense. In the book of Proverbs, there's a character called the fool, in quotes, almost with a capital F. There's all these funny descriptions of what the fool does, and fools set traps and fall into them, and, you know, and in Proverbs, the fool never listens to anyone. Why does the fool never listen to anyone? Because he's so confident in himself. Everyone else knows he's a fool, and God knows he's a fool. He does stupid things. And even when he does, even when his stupid decisions hurt him, he doesn't even draw the dots and realize he's to blame for the consequences. Does that make sense? One scholar has written, "The fool is fixed in the correctness of his own opinion." That's the last thing in the world he'd ever question. Everyone else can be wrong, but never himself. That's a fool. In fact, Proverbs goes a little bit further in chapter 26. It says, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him." So a person wise in their own eyes is one level below a fool in Proverbs. So, what are we going to do, church? We're going to embrace a new way of living called suspicion of self and trust in God. Trust in God's word. We're going to fear God and shun evil. We're going to tremble before his word and make decisions that may make us uncomfortable, but God's word convicts. We're going to make decisions that are sacrificial for us, but we're going to trust in God. I mean, it says if you do this, you'll be shunning evil. Have you noticed that when people do evil things, they never actually woke up and said, "I'm going to do something bad today. I feel mean today." People who do evil, why do they do it? Because they think they have a very good reason. And of course, that doesn't excuse it, because people use their own logic and their own thinking to justify murder. They use it to justify theft and many crimes. In fact, I think every crime people commit, the criminal thinks he has a good reason. But that just shows the failure of being wise in your own eyes. People feel justified in cheating on their tax or stealing. You know, they feel justified when they have an affair or cheat on a marriage. People are convinced they are right in their own logic when they lie or gossip or bully. The key to avoiding evil, the Bible says, is not just to reject evil, but to reject being wise in your own eyes. Do you see, people get the first, but not the second. Yes, they want to reject evil, but they don't reject being wise in their own eyes, but that's the source of it. In fact, it's comical in a way that if you think about someone who's sort of really immoral, really promiscuous, and just a lawbreaker, you know, and then someone who's quite moral and dutiful, often they're playing the same game, and that's called trusting in my own wisdom. They're both trusting in their own wisdom, one to be very immoral and justifying it, and one to sort of be very moral and justify that. But they actually both got the same worldview. The worldview is being wise in your own eyes. One of them is accidentally being a bit more godly, but they're both playing the same game. And God calls both of them to renounce, reject self-wisdom and to embrace a healthy fear of God. Don't be wise in your own eyes. And probably, this is an encouragement, if you've got kind of a bit of a shady past, the person who's been more of the lawbreaker, it's easier for them to acknowledge they're not wise in their own eyes and to embrace God. That's a good thing in a way, if it leads you to Christ. It's the moral, good, dutiful person. It's hard to convince them to renounce self-wisdom, but God's word says it, right? So here are some tests you could apply to yourself. Are you doing this? Have you embraced the wisdom of God and renounced self? For example, when was the last time you made a difficult decision against your own judgment based on something in the Bible? When you can do that, something powerful is going on in your life because you're letting go of self-wisdom and trusting God. When was the last time you made a decision to do the harder thing when you could have done the easier thing but you took godly advice and you did the harder thing? When was the last time you made a self-sacrificial decision that made your life harder for Jesus' sake? They're the tests that you're trusting in God and fearing him. Don't be wise in your own eyes. That's God's word to us today. What will happen to you if you do this? You'll feel like the world's going to fall apart, but actually Proverbs says what will happen. We'll look at verse 8. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. It's incredible. God's word at this point promises health to those who renounce self-wisdom. Now, in a way, I can't explain that. It just stands as God's word. Just be enticed by it. That's what he promises. If you renounce self-wisdom, embrace God, it's life-giving. Let me give you, though, my guess as to how that works. Just a guess, okay? And you can talk with me over morning tea whether you think this guess is right. Here's how I think that verse works. Why is it that renouncing self wisdom produces life? I wonder if it is health draining to be a proud person. Ever thought about this? I wonder whether, you know, being proud takes a toll on your spiritual, mental, and even physical health. Because when you are proud and trusting in your own wisdom, you have to expend a lot of energy to justify all your choices and to defend all your decisions. And that energy is going to cost you to expend all that energy trying to convince yourself that you're wise in your own eyes. It's much healthier, isn't it, to admit that you need grace and to have just to trust God and have the peace that he's at the steering wheel and you're not, and to give him control of your life. God's grace is invigorating when you let it in. It brings health to your body and life to your bones. And the more you can let it into your life, I hope that you'll in a way become addicted to it in a healthy sense, because it's good. Letting God be your wisdom over your judgment and your intuition brings health, says God's word. Well, I could summarise all of this in another way by going back to verses 5 and 6, which you will know because they are famous for getting kids to memorise them. So chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight." I can say that looking at you without looking at my Bible. I know that verse well because I've taught it to my children. And I didn't have a Christian dad growing up, but I had a Christian grandfather, and I remember him impressing that verse on me, even though I only saw him once or twice a year. He had a big impact on my life. God is saying to us today, trust me with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You see, lean not on your own wisdom. In all your ways, acknowledge him, not just the big things, but in all your little choices. Wherever you are, acknowledge God and let him into your decision-making. Let his word impact you. There's a massive difference between doing what God wants when you agree and doing what God wants all the time. You see, it's actually a world of difference between the two. You know, and this is something that I think we fall into all the time, even though as Christians we've said we want Jesus to be the Lord, but we fall back to wisdom of self. Some examples of this might be when we trust in Jesus to forgive our sins, but then we kind of close that off and we lean on the world for advice on relationships. You know, that's not trusting in God with all your heart. That's not leaning on Him with everything. You know, we trust in God for hope, for heaven. And in heaven, we're going to get everything. It's going to be amazing. We're going to get a new world. We talked about that last week. But then when it comes to our sense of what we need in this life, we look to the world and we get the world's sense of self-entitlement for stuff. You know, we believe in part that Jesus shed his blood and bought us and owns us as Christians, and yet day to day we live for other masters. You know, but God says to us today, trust in me with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. God doesn't say, give me part of your life if you agree. He says, give me all your life. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Wisdom is total. You know, God is not really God, is he, if he's not God of everything? Jesus is not Lord at all if he's not Lord of all, as the saying goes. When you renounce being wise in your own eyes, you're truly free to rest in God and have peace with God with all your heart. So friends, this is my encouragement to you today. In your choices, acknowledge God, fear God. In those little moments, seek what God would want for you. Let his word guide you. You know, the verse says, he will make your paths straight. Without God, I think we think we're straight because we're just doing what's in front of us. But from God, who is absolute and holy and perfect, who stands above us, and God sees the end from the beginning, and he knows our hearts, from his perspective, our choices are like wonky and wavering and shonky and crooked. But God says, trust in me and I will make your path straight. With God as your compass, with an objective point outside yourself, not your own wisdom, but God's wisdom, then you can live a straight life. And that is invigorating. It's life-giving. Well, friends, let me draw this together. The theme, the message from God to you today is this. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't be wise in your own eyes. God loves you, and he knows you better than you know yourself. And he's saying that, don't deceive yourself. You know, don't get caught up into thinking that you are justified and rational and trusting in your own wisdom. God knows how self-serving we can be. I encourage you with the spiritual practice of self-doubt, of not trusting your heart. You know, open the door to leaning on God with all your heart. Your life is your most important asset, more important than a car, just a car. You know, your life is too important an asset to entrust to you. Does that make sense? God says, entrust it to him. Concede to God that he alone is wise and that living his way will bring life to your bones. Let's pray. Let's pray that we would do it. Dear God, we thank you for your word in scripture that speaks to us so clearly today, and speaks and crushes our sense of intuition and wisdom that we wrongly put confidence in. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us to let you in completely, to rule our hearts and minds, make us people of wisdom, that in our choices we'll fear you and try and do in everything what will draw us closer to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Please pour out your grace into our lives, we pray, and may it invigorate us, may it bring life to our bones. We ask in Jesus' name, Amen.